Well, good morning on this April 17, 2023, Monday edition of Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible because we serve a God of the impossible. Amen. Well, we've got the Monday crew. I couldn't be more excited about that. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Miss Gretchen?
Me too. I'm doing great.
Miss Hannah?
Awesome.
Hallelujah. And Mariah, you doing good in there? She gives a thumbs up. She says yay and yay and yes and amen. But God is doing great things. Had a great service yesterday here at Bethel Fellowship. We got to marching. I didn't plan to march, and I realized, man, I am out of shape if you can't march and talk around the sanctuary at one, the same time. I worked up a sweat trying to do that. I was exhausted by the time we were done. But God was so good, so faithful. He really did a lot of great things yesterday in the hearts of men and women. And I know he moved in a crowd of great services all across Grayson and Brett County yesterday.
I didn't appreciate that either.
What's that?
I had been working out in the yard. I worked out in the yard all day Saturday just about.
Yeah.
I was sore. When I got up, I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I can. When you said walking, I was like, it helped, though. It did help. Kind of worked the soreness out.
I was getting those muscles moving. I didn't see Jason join the march, though.
No, I didn't make it.
No.
You got to stay on the other side of the wall. Sorry, sir. And Hannah said the service at Wilson Home last night was awesome. We wanted to go so bad, but there were some things we had to get done around here. And so, you were saying it was a great service last night.
Yeah, I definitely, God knew I needed to be there. And I'm so thankful that even though I had some challenges yesterday, leaving all my belongings at Cattleman's, he still made a way for me to be able to get there. So I caught a ride from one of my friends, and I needed to be there. Everything was working against me to go, but I was there, and the Lord just showed up in a mighty way. Brother Jeremy Paul, he brought the word, and he was just so humble with the word and just so genuine, and just it was just the Father speaking to us. It was the Holy Spirit speaking, and it was just an awesome time. We had so many people get baptized, and most of us got baptized for like the second or third time.
Sure.
And he just was talking about how, like, you know, it's nothing about the water, but it's about the faith going into it, and you know, almost all except for some of the kids got baptized for the first time, but almost all of the adults that got baptized like had something in mind that they're expecting, that they're believing the Lord to do a healing or an answered prayer or just whatever it may be, or him pouring, giving them a gift that they've been praying for, pouring out more of him and less of us, and it was just an awesome time in the body of Christ. So thankful I got to go.
And that's something that's becoming more prevalent, and of course with the North Georgia Revival and Todd Smith, and when Todd Smith was walking the sanctuary and praying, and the Lord told him there's fire in the water. Is that correct, Miss Gretchen?
I think so, yeah.
But there was no water in the baptism at that time,
right.
But he knew what he was saying, and now they're at, what was the last number I heard him say? I think they're approaching 40,000 baptisms in the last 6 years, so... Mm-hmm. Just God's doing great things in the water, and a lot of great miracles, a lot of healings, a lot of restoration and all that. And God's moving in big ways. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jeremy's a great man of God, too, and does a great job. We really did want to be there, but we just couldn't make it this time. But we usually try to make it on the double Sunday because they are always great down there. Hallelujah. Well, we have just a couple of short announcements. We got Man Up coming the 27th, which is not this Thursday, but next. You got Tax Day tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm not ready for it. I'm probably the only one at this table who's not done theirs yet, and I got to get that done or file my extension one at a time. I may have to file extension because I actually think I'm missing paperwork.
Uh-oh.
And so... and I'd rather file an extension than go to jail for a misdemeanor for not filing my taxes. So, you ever done that, Jason? Have you ever forgot or seen?
I once forgot to pay my state taxes.
Mm-hmm. Was that common?
No, I just forgot.
I mean, like, would...
Back in the day, I would get a refund from federal and then have to pay in state, so I would wait till I got my refund.
Mm-hmm.
This was before electronic direct deposit. So... one year I just simply forgot to write the check to the state. Had the taxes filed and everything. So about 4 years later, the state of Kentucky called me up.
Hey, I think you owe me some money, sir.
So, the lady was very, very nice. As I told her, I said, you're not going to believe this. But I just forgot. I said, this is my paperwork is here. Because I was convinced they had made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I figured they were more likely to make a mistake than me. Well, but I was wrong.
He was wrong.
Yeah.
That's humility there. You're willing to admit you're wrong.
It was bad. But she was very understanding, and she said, believe it or not. When I explained, you know, why I waited to normally pay, you know, getting the federal refund and then paying from that, she said, actually, this happens quite often.
This happens quite often.
She was very understanding. She waived all the penalties and all that stuff, interest and everything. She said, if you'll just write me a check for the right amount.
That's the favor of the Lord.
I'll do it right now. I did. So,
cut it right there.
Yeah, I did. They took care of me.
Well, tomorrow's tax day, so you got till tomorrow to get your taxes taken care of. And then we have, let's see, Arrow Ministry went great the other night.
Yeah.
Y'all went to the wee hours.
It was a good time.
We had a lot of ladies share their testimony. That was actually why it went probably a little bit longer, but it was awesome to see how many people, you know, had the courage to get up and share their testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think people's excited and people bold right now and sharing the gospel. I mean, sharing their testimony and sharing what God's done in their life. And I thought it was amazing. I don't know what time y'all finished, but actually, I don't even know if we was home for most of it. We kind of snuck in towards the end there. Mm-hmm. Because Josh was over there in the worship.
It was about a normal day or evening that we have. It didn't go any longer than what normal. But
I like the cheesecake I got out. I love this.
I think he's referring to a few of us that stayed afterwards. And he made it back in time to grab some dessert.
That's when I dropped the cake
That's
on
when
me.
We met.
You always hate wasting a good cake. It was kind of depressing.
Yeah, it was all over both of his arms. It was pretty funny.
And then ate the icing. There were still a lot of good chunks of icing on my arm. So, it was great. I did hear y'all laughing and praising the Lord and singing, and you always love to hear that. So, I'm glad Arrow went great. And then you got Coffee with Jesus coming up the 29th at Westview at Mount Zion. And so make sure you make plans to attend there. It's 4 o'clock p.m. Miss Megan Sasha is going to be the speaking there. The God who sees. Amen.
Amen.
Any other announcements I'm missing? I don't think. Jason, am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so. You'd really like the cheesecake, don't you?
I love cheesecake. Look, it was Heather's feel-good day yesterday when we went to Cattleman's. That's why we went. Me and Heather and Ethan and Hannah went out to eat, and I just knew Heather probably needed a day just to kind of enjoy food and just kind of get away from everything. And I really I saw them bring out this piece of cheesecake. And the piece of cheesecake looked to be about the size of your head, Mr. Miller.
It was huge.
It was huge. And this is how much I love my wife. I sacrificed and shared the molten lava chocolate cake. It was okay. But I almost venture to say that cheesecake may have been better.
I don't know. That lava cake was good. I got to eat it all myself because Ethan was so full he wouldn't eat any of it. So I had to eat it by myself.
See what a husband I am. I sacrificed the cheesecake.
I like cheesecake, but I don't. It's not something I would say. Oh, that's what I want.
Like chicken livers. Who likes chicken livers?
I do.
What's your favorite dessert then? Before we get into spiritual things, let's finish this natural discussion here.
I don't know. I do like a carrot cake or a German chocolate cake.
I have a carrot cake at my house right now. You want it?
I do like them.
Aaron won't eat it.
Jam?
And I like jam cake, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that, Miss Mary? Bring Jason the carrot cake from now on and not Aaron. Yeah.
Hey, actually, she did bring a piece of carrot cake from a local coffee shop in Litchfield. And I think it's Storehouse.
She
got it from. And she brought it during the Sarathon. And it wasn't bad. I could probably eat that one.
Yeah.
But I'm not a huge fan of carrot cake. But that one wasn't
I think
bad.
It's the name.
Carrot cake?
Yeah.
It's pretty intimidating. It almost hints at healthiness.
Yeah.
And then I know you love...
I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about carrot cake. And this lady said that she had... her husband would not eat her carrot cake. And so this year at Easter, she renamed it Easter cake.
And he ate it?
And he loved it.
I could see that because you don't associate carrot and...
dessert right? together. Yeah. So if you call it the orange cake, yeah. or
I bet you won't try zucchini bread either.
No, I do like zucchini bread.
Heather loves zucchini bread.
Me too.
She loves. Is that the thing?
Oh, Mariah's giving us a thumbs up there.
She also loves the. All right, so it's spaghetti, but it's made out of something else. What's it called?
Yeah, that's zucchini.
Or, zucchini yeah. is that what it's called? Where
zucchini
you like
zucchini noodles or squash?
Yeah,
spaghetti
butter,
squash.
Yeah, squash.
I think it's squash. She does all the time. Like we'll eat regular spaghetti, and she makes herself squash spaghetti or something.
There
like,
is a
gross.
It's probably spaghetti squash. Yeah, it's like a squash that's stringy. Mm-hmm.
Ethan attempted yesterday at lunch to try to find out a green food that I ate. And he said, you won't eat this? No. Like, what about bell pepper? I don't even know what that is, but it's green, so no.
Oh, my God.
I'm just really strict on this.
He said, what about an apple? And he said, I ate an apple once with some caramel on it. And we were like, only once?
Because I was trying to figure out if I ate any fruit whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah, I did eat an apple once. It had caramel on it, and it was on a stick, and it was terrific. I can eat an apple like that. Miss Karen, I don't know if Miss Karen's listening or not this morning, but she does every once in a while, I know. And the first time I ever told her of my diet, Miss Karen Lacefield, her face kind of dropped and her mouth was wide open. And she said, are you serious? I said, yeah, I don't even know how I'm living. It must be by the grace of God. But I don't know. It just... I have no idea why I am like that. I can't tell you. I know we got to go on. I can't tell you if it's texture or sight or taste. I think it's a mixture of everything, like with me. Like I'm a real texture eater, but also I'm like, if I see green food, I don't know. I think you need to pray for my deliverance because I may have like a green food phobia. Like it just scares me. If you put a green bean in my face, it's like, whoa,
you
back
need to
up.
Just be blindfolded and have someone feed you and then not know what they're feeding you and then find out you like it.
Now somebody feeding me, I can get used to that. Just take me. All right. Well, all right. So let's.
So y'all went to Cattleman's?
We did.
That's nice.
You could have come. It was Heather's field good
day.
Anybody could come.
I went to Elizabethtown, but. Believe it or not, we went to White Castle.
Sorry. I mean.
That was not a good decision either.
Look.
It's probably been 20 years since I've been to White Castle.
Wow.
Kelly likes it every now and then, so I told her, I said, why don't we just do it today? Break my streak. And I'm still paying for it.
And then you remembered why you waited 20 years.
Immediately I remembered why.
See, I am now thoroughly convinced.
Those things aren't cheap anymore, and you pay for them for a long time, too. It's like an installment plan.
I'm trying to move on. I'm not segue out of that. Well, this is what I'm thoroughly convinced of. If I'm already in E-Town now, I am doing the next, it's an extra 19 minutes to go to Cattleman's now.
Yeah.
And I'm just thoroughly convinced it's worth the 19
minutes. I've never been to Cattleman's. I've heard people talk about it, but I've never been there. But
well, we're not endorsed by Cattleman's. So right. I can't get in trouble for saying somebody to go, but the food is.
Aaron said he's going to start making that his thing, his ministry with people.
Yeah.
You know, like he's going to start inviting couples every Sunday to go to Cattleman's so he can eat it every Sunday. So maybe you all can be the next.
There you go.
Like they have, my wife loves the all-you-can-eat buffet, the salad bar.
And yeah, you can add the salad bar to any meal for $5, and it's like an entire buffet of salad, and it also has like potato salad, pasta salad.
Kind of like the old Golden Corral type setup?
A little bit, yeah, except it's just the salad, and then the rest of the menus aren't. They bring it out to you.
Not Golden Corral as it is now, but remember back in the day when they had the salad bar,
separate.
Like in Litchfield there.
Yeah.
It's
a good size salad bar. I mean, it looks good. I would eat it.
It's good.
It's interesting.
But you should have got you all was there.
Yes,
you,
I should have.
You
could have
come.
Else.
You could have come up there and say, hey, we're up here already. We're gonna meet you all at Cattleman's. It's 20 minutes up the road, and y'all could have partook in Heather's Feel Better Day.
Yeah.
I love that Feel Better Day. It made all of us feel better.
I would say it's the best steak I've ever had, which I did get medium well. Some people would disagree with that. But
I got it well done. Bring on the leather.
Well done.
Bring on the leather. All right, here we go.
That's not even scriptural, I don't think.
All right, I got to figure out where we're at in John here after all this talk of, I'm really hungry at this point.
I think there's something about the bread of life.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Look,
I think we're past that.
This is probably confirmation that I'm really feeling in my spirit that there's something with this steak with Jesus. They have coffee with Jesus. I feel there's something really significant on steak. Hannah said something, steak with the Holy Spirit. But
steak with the Spirit.
Oh, yeah, steak with the Spirit. I'm good about anything at this point if steak is in the name.
Or cheesecake with Christ. I threw out that one for you.
I could do that, too. I don't know. Brother Joey says, don't forget the amazing glaze. He's at donut shop right now. Just sent me a picture.
Bringing us some?
Let's see here. Miss Gail said, you need to try fried okra. Doesn't taste like vegetables. It's just the name okra. I don't know.
I agree with her. It's fried okra is one of my favorite foods.
Me too. I think you would like it. I think you could do it. If you could just not look at it, you could do it.
It is good.
Now, Heather, she's trying to get sneaky.
I could eat it like popcorn. Like, if I had a bag of okra, like people have microwave a bag of popcorn, I could eat the whole thing.
Now, I order for appetizer these things called onion something, but they're really thin, and they're like
straws.
Chips. Kind of. But they're like a chip. And I was like, I need a bag
onions,
of these.
But they're cut so thin that it's like,
I don't know. Heather's trying to sneak stuff in food, but I find it. I find it when she tries to. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? So I do love in the Gospel of John where he starts to get in these things, and he's hit stuff like this to remind us. Like, we talked last week about trying to understand spiritual things naturally and sometimes trying to understand natural things spiritually. And sometimes we have to be sensitive and discerning to what the Holy Spirit is showing us on how we interpret the text and how we're interpreting what Jesus is saying, because he does take natural parables to explain spiritual things. And sometimes, though, we try to over-spiritualize or we try to over-naturalize. And I think we have to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God, because he says over and over, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Here he's saying this. This is a hard saying. Well, what's the hard saying? Well, Jesus just told him, if you eat of my body and you drink of my blood, you could be a partaker of me. But if you don't, you can't. That is a hard saying. Would you agree?
Yeah, both natural and spiritual.
Yeah. And he even gives that warning. Like, this is a hard saying. Like, I think Jesus understood. Because at the end of the day, they were not hearing by way of the Holy Spirit, they were just hearing by way of their natural ear, because a lot of these people were following him for solely just wanting to get fed again or wanting to see another miracle. But he's weeding all that out, and he understands, and he tells them, like he tells his disciples when they'd heard this, he said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew it in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so he goes and he basically starts to tell the disciples, and y'all just hop in wherever you want. Doeth this offend you? Because he knew they were murmuring. They knew they were struggling. He knew that they were talking amongst themselves. What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Which kind of goes back to Jesus is going back to where he's always been.
Right. So he's saying, does this offend you? Well, I got something even bigger.
Said, I ain't
what
done yet, guys.
If you see this?
Yeah. True.
Yeah, and I do love how Jesus, over and over in the Gospel of John, because we preached from John 17 yesterday. It's hard to preach John 17 when you're trying to get to one, just that one text, because there's so much in it. Like, you could, there was one preacher recently that took like a whole year or so like that and preached the whole John 17, one verse at a time. So he preached one verse each time he preached, which is really hard, but it has a lot of depth. But over and over in the Gospel of John, he reminds us that he is God, that he's always been God. And he says stuff like this several times, where I was before, mm-hmm. or the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Like, he keeps reminding us that Jesus has always been, like, right. He's always been.
Yeah.
And I think that's significant.
I remember we had some folks from Wycliffe Bible Translators here years ago. And one particular tribe they were working in, they started with the Book of John.
Mm-hmm.
So their Bible began with John, because they, you know, the people, that particular group they were working with, they had no Bible, you know, no written language to begin with. And so when they put all that together, they said, let's just start with, you know, where Jesus, you know, clarifies he is God.
Yeah.
And so that's how their Bible began.
Yeah. You know? That's pretty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I encourage people who's just born again, mm-hmm. or people who's just getting into Bible study, to start in the Book of John.
Yeah.
Because it really establishes his divinity, mm-hmm. And that he always was, always is, and will always be. And he's God.
The word is he.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love how he continually brings this up, because he's keeping it right before our face. He's keeping it fresh. Because a lot of the Jews at this time, and even the disciples themselves, I believe they weren't struggling with his power or his anoint. They knew he was anointed. They knew he was doing gift works from the Lord. Even the Pharisee and the Sadducee, in a minute, we know that no one can do the works that you do lest he comes from God. That's what Nicodemus basically told him. So they weren't struggling with whether he came from God or if he was sent by God. Now the Pharisees and Sadducees eventually drag it in and said, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub. And he said, impossible. A kingdom against itself cannot stand. But they're struggling not with his ability to do miracles and his ability to be, like, to talk about godly things. They're struggling with his divinity. And when he says stuff like this, this is what they cannot capture. And this is really the reason that he was killed, was blasphemy. This is why the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the high priest of them actually had him killed, was they said he declared to be God.
So do you think, like in 62, he says, so what if you see me, or you're going to see me, ascend back up to heaven to sit by the Father? You know, is it the fact that he tells them that he's leaving, mm-hmm. and not going to become the overthrowing
king?
No,
I think it's where he was before. Because I think
I mean, like the people there, do you think they got upset or left because he's telling them he's not going to be here to overthrow the Roman Empire or whatever?
Well, I think the reason they're murmuring and he's saying, you know, if you think that was offensive, wait till I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
He was only talking to his disciples at this point. Everybody else has left. I think they started to be weeded out whenever he told them to drink his blood and eat his flesh. At this point, I think he's dealing with just his disciples, which mm-hmm. are still early in the ministry, sort of. I mean, we're into it, but we're still earlier sessions. And I think the thing that would have even been hard for them to hear is him declaring himself just to be God right there. Because he told them, ascend to where he was before.
Right.
He was telling them, I've already been in heaven, already been with the Father, and I'm getting ready to ascend up again. And I think they would have struggled with that. Like, I think they were struggling with the fact that he just declared himself to be God again. Because even though his disciples are seeing everything, his disciples are still being, I think of it like this. Sometimes when we walk with the Lord and we're learning and we're growing, it's like a layer's being peeled back. And sometimes those layers are just peeled back one at a time, and we're learning and we're growing and we're stretching and things are being unraveled. And I think that's why, like Galatians and other ones, talk about the mysteries and search out the mysteries, find the mysteries. And Jason, how long have you been saved now?
Long time, about almost 40 years.
And you study the word a lot. I mean, you've been in there and you had Bible classes, you had everything. Mm-hmm. You have a bachelor's in Bible, don't you?
Religion. I'm a religion. Very religious man.
Well, great. You're a lawyer on Acts. But would you say, even after all your years of studying and even after all your Bible classes, you're still learning every single day?
Yeah. Every day.
And there's still questions you have. Not necessarily like you're doubting him, but it's like you're probably still, how does this work? How does that work?
Yeah.
Who? What's about him? And I think that's the layers being pulled back. And I think this is what we're getting to see. He's doing this with his disciples. He keeps peeling back a layer, and there's another layer, and then there's another layer, and there's another revelation, and there's another thing that he's showing.
Kind of like a blooming onion.
I love the way you think. And I think that's, I think that's what he's doing, and he's telling them, like, you thought that was offensive because I told you to eat in my flesh and drink in my blood. I got to remind you, like, I'm going to go up to where I already was because I'm God.
Yeah.
I've been God. And it is the spirit that quickeneth. And the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning that they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. I was wanting to finish John 6 today. I was trying so hard. I'll have to finish it tomorrow, then we move into John 7. But Jesus did know, though. He's saying, I know some of you are not going to believe. Of course, we know he's going to talk about Judas Iscariot, because at the end of it, he will say, you know.
Right. But apparently there were more.
Yeah. I think there were several disciples that.
You think of the 12?
Yeah. I think they were struggling still to understand.
He's not talking to just the 12 here, right?
Well, I think so. I think he's talking to a smaller crowd. Maybe not just.
Well, like the women that followed him and like more than 12. There could have been more than 12.
Well, let's read the last section. We're 2 minutes late for break.
66, it does say, that many of the disciples went back. But then it said in 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? So it's like there was a group that left, and then he looks at the 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so so now he's talking to the followers. I think these were like people who were kind of around.
Yeah.
But then they just weed out. And so then it was his real 12 disciples. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto them 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Do you think he could have also been talking about Peter when he said back in verse 64 that he knew from the beginning they that believe not and who should betray him? Because, I mean, he denied him.
Well, I think he definitely knew Peter would deny him. But I think, I don't know if you call Peter's... I guess Peter was betrayal because he let him down right there. But I think the betrayal he speaks of is Judas. I think he was talking more specifically on Judas right there because Judas's betrayal was the one prophesied in Scripture. and so that Scripture may be fulfilled, Judas had to betray him, the son of destruction or the son of perdition. Am I saying that right, Jason? I always want to make sure I'm saying
perdition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think there he's specifically talking about Judas because I think Peter's more is labeled as a denial. Like he denied him, but he didn't necessarily betray him as such as Judas did that for 30 pieces of silver he turned him in and said, I know where Jesus is. But that would be my initial thoughts. If I look deep into it maybe, but I think that's my initial thoughts. But
how many preachers have preached on John 6:66?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just in that, just like God to have made those numbers hit up like that when, you know, 666.
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't even catch that, Miss Gretchen.
Oh, I've heard that mentioned, you know, in messages before. You know that those particular numbers, how they line up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm.
I never would have caught that.
Yeah, you know, I'm. Particularly, I like Peter's response. You know, in 68.
Yes.
And I think that's if we had that confidence, that I think it kind of sums up the way our Christian walk should be. In every situation, it should be, well, what other option do we have than following you? You know, and that's what Peter's saying. Where else are we going to go to?
Mm-hmm.
And so in every situation, whether good times or bad times or whatever, it should be, we don't really have any other option than following you. Everything else is a mistake. And, you know, if that was our approach, then that gives us that confidence in the Lord. so that whenever, you know, let's say you're having a tough day or circumstances are really, really bad, you still are on that rock of, my God is the only option. There is no other option. Mm-hmm. And it gives you that confidence in him, mm-hmm. that he's got your back. He's for your good. And sometimes it may not look like it, but he is for your good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm trying to pull up the trivia questions. I'll make sure I have it on our way out here. I agree. And, you know, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I think I'm with you, Jason, because it's the statement that we should all have. Like, where else can we go? Your word is true. Your word is full. It's whole. And pretty much people over exaggerate this statement, because we say, you know, if you need it, it's in the word, because he has the words of eternal life. Now, if you need help on investing in your 401k, or you need to know if you needed to give a Tylenol or ibuprofen, like, some of that people get ridiculous. Like, well, that's not everything in the word, because it don't give you everything, but it gives you principles, and it gives you ability to, and, principles and wisdom, how to make decisions, you know, right. How to seek counsel. Like, the word will teach us how to live and live in a godly manner. And it's complete. And where else can we go but Jesus? Jesus is the word. And where else can we go? Because he does have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
And so, good stuff. We finally finished John chapter 6 after a week and a day. But we're done. And we'll move on to John chapter 7. I have the first trivia question for the morning. Excited for our guest at 8:30 today, Miss Megan Fortner. She's going to come on with us. And we love Miss Megan. She's a little fireball. She's going to talk about the love of God. Hannah, you'll like Miss Megan. I don't think she's ever met Miss Megan yet. One time, Miss Megan was on here, and she was just preaching away, and we just listened, and Miss Gretchen was through the wall. Door going, yeah, yeah.
That'll most likely be me.
You interviewed her once.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
The book. Yeah. It was one of those mornings I wasn't able to be here.
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, she was energetic. Exciting, yeah.
Did your foot start tapping listening to her?
Yeah, I mean, she was, it may have been the first one I did by myself. And it was easy because she just...
You know, just kind of hi, and how are you? She takes off, and you say, great, thank you, have a blessed day. We
she said something, I wrote it down, but I don't have it with me. And I remember, I'll have to go back and look.
Now, she sent the book, right?
She not to me personally, but she sent it here, yeah.
We're going to give that away one of these days.
Okay.
All righty. Well, Monday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What Old Testament prophet had a vision of four chariots driven by angels? What Old Testament prophet had a vision of four chariots driven by angels? You know what, Mariah? Did we miss our 2 week last week, or are we on? This is our second week, right? Mariah's got to keep me in check here. This is our second week, I think. Or did we miss a second week last week? I think we may have missed a drawing because we got so caught up.
Yep. Well, let's go to break and find out.
I'll have to find out a break. If we did, then if we did miss last week, we'll just make this a 3 week drawing, probably. I don't know. We'll figure this out.
Draw today.
That's true. Monday, right. Question number one. What Old Testament prophet had a vision of four chariots driven by angels? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day we will rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Joey Sosh got that name right, and we are going to draw for the last 2 weeks here in a second. Mariah's going to get them all together there, and we'll draw either in the next segment or towards the end, but she'll take care of the drawing on that. We'll get you drawn for that book package that we were in the 2 week for, but Joey Sosh got the first answer right, and it was Zechariah. What Old Testament prophet had a vision of four chariots driven by angels? Zechariah 6:1-8. So congratulations, brothers. Joey gets his name in for this 2 week period. He's right there. He always says, I'm 1 minute behind. He's always somebody answers and he'll call in 1 minute behind, but he got it in this time. He also gave me the dad joke of the day. What did Adam say to Eve when handing her something to wear? Take it or leave it.
There you go.
Take it or leave it. I love it. Hallelujah.
All righty. Well, we are going to move forward. Got our first Bible question of the day. Which one do we want to do first? I've noticed that many early American writers and politicians refer to God as Providence. Do you think these writers were avoiding the name of Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think they were avoiding the name of Jesus. I think that they were just, I think most likely what they were probably doing. Now, there may have been some politicians that may. Politicians are better at that, of trying to talk about religion but avoiding Jesus in the midst of it. Because if you can just talk about God, God can be very generalized. And so, because then they can say, we're talking about this God, or we're talking about that God, or we're talking about this. I watched one video of a, I don't know if he was UFC or just MMA. I don't know what corporations he was with, but I think he just won a fight, and they were interviewing him, and he said,
it wasn't that man that was dressed as a woman, was it?
No. but he said something to the effect of, he said, you know, I can't believe, he said, I have peace and I have rest. And he said, the best thing that I ever did was this. And he got down on his knees and lifted up his hands. And he said, the best thing I ever did was accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he's given me peace. And I don't care if I ever win another match. He said, this is what I love. And this is what I'm so thankful that I got to do one day. And he hit his knees in front of the whole place.
That's different from the guy that dressed as a woman.
Yes, quite different, probably. But I love his testimony, because he didn't just say, I praise God or anything like that. He said, this is what I did. Like, he got on his knees and lifted up his hands and said, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something significant about that. But for the early American writers, I don't know if I would say that, because I think that
it could be just a term that of the day.
Well, I think also they were trying to explain things about God.
Yeah.
And
it's not a term you hear much anymore. He is. People talk about him being our providence or provider.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that anybody refers to God as providence like they did back in the day.
Well, I think that it would have been something that I want to make sure I say this right, because
it's a true statement.
I think that we're thankful he's providence and he's provider. But I think it gave another inclination of them in the early America when they were just. It wasn't as prosperous as it is now, and it wasn't. They relied on him as providence.
True.
And we should rely on him as providence, but a lot of times we don't. We rely on the government. We rely on this or that, or because we're a very prosperous nation now, and I think that we're desensitized to his providence. Is that a fair statement?
Kind of lost that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think for the early American writers and the politicians, when they said, they called God providence, they were saying he is our providence. If we don't have him, we don't have nothing.
It's kind of like the term religion. You know, years ago, it meant it was good. Mm-hmm. If you had religion, or you were and a lot of times that's how they said it, you had religion. You know, but nowadays, if somebody said that you were religious, you'd be offended,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you think it's more of a man-made idea instead of a...
I have a message that I've given a couple times about, are you a religious person? And
very religious. Yeah. You've got a degree in it.
I have a degree in religion, that's right. But to take that and use James, mm-hmm. you know, in his definition of pure religion.
Mm-hmm.
And because we should be very religious, you know, as far as what James tells us. But like Mom was saying, the way we use that term today, it's almost become a bad thing, you know, mm-hmm. a more formal, cold thing, mm-hmm. when it should be what James said, you know, a visit the widows in their affliction, mm-hmm. and keep yourself unspotted from the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that, like, I don't think James was... I think the significant thing about James is he was saying this is undefiled, pure religion mm-hmm. to do this. He wasn't saying this is how you're saved or anything.
Right.
This is just religious acts.
Yeah.
And
because you're saved.
Because you're saved.
Basically what he was saying is do something with your faith.
Yes.
He wasn't saying the only form of pure religion is to visit the widows.
Could you say that was the premise of the whole book?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is what he kept talking about. Do something with your faith.
Yeah. Do something and then keep yourself inspired. In other words, protect your faith.
Yeah.
Keep it from, you know, stay holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because religion in its truest form is just things we do for the Father. The thing that becomes dangerous if we think doing those things is what saves us or keeps us safe.
Right.
Right.
That's when
we're doing them for others.
And really, I've always kind of...
For the others to see.
Sure,
that way, yeah.
Sure. Pharisees and the Sadducees, yeah, kind of thing. But I've always tried to show this dichotomy as much as I can, because I think a lot of people has thrown around the word religious and kingdom really flippantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that, honestly, I think we should almost use the word legalistic or, you know, I think that word fits what we're actually talking about just as well as religious. I just think that religion has got there because a lot of people's become frustrated with the religious organizations that we are in. So now you have that tie in there.
Mm-hmm.
But really what we're preaching against is legalism. It's not necessarily religion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's legalism. And so I think that's the important thing. And so well said. But I think according to the actual question, that I don't know if they were avoiding Jesus. I couldn't tell you, but I do think that there was more significance for them when they would say God is providence, because to them it meant something different than it means to us.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, I have noticed that they would use that term like as a name for God,
mm-hmm,
like we might call him Jehovah or you know something like that. They would use that for as a name, and I would guess it was probably, like you were mentioning there, a term they would use of that day because they needed a lot of providence.
Yeah.
They needed a lot of provision, you know,
because
we were young, you know, at that point, many of those writers, this was before the United States of America, before the Revolutionary War.
Sure.
Or during the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of providence needed.
Yeah. And providence in its truest sense is not just providing money.
Yeah.
Food, protection. Like, he's just providence. He's providing all things.
Yeah.
And so it would have had a different weight to it. And unfortunately, I think we've become desensitized to how much providence God really has and what he's really doing in our lives, because we're very accustomed to being spoiled. Like yesterday when we had the steak and the appetizers and the desserts. And then
funny you should mention that. Brother Tim just sent me a picture of it looks like a suitcase of White Castles. It's a 30-pack. Looks like a briefcase, doesn't it?
Well, I just love that he's...
I won't tell you what he wrote with it, but...
I love that...
It's correct.
Well, I just love that Brother Tim's been sending pictures lately. He sent me one of a bunny bacon. It's a bunny made out of bacon. Yeah. And I think he did it funny, though, because it's sitting on a salad. It's sitting on a
salad.
Who
would eat that many White Castles? That's 30. That would kill a person.
I bet Jacob would.
Well, hopefully it's a family pack. It's not it's not for one individual.
One listener said, religious has become a bad term by the way some act after they profess their faith.
Yeah,
it's our own fault.
When I do that message, I do it kind of as a thought-provoking way.
Yeah. You know,
because we do have this negative connotation with religion. And we as we should, because it's what it has become.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of turn it around, you know, and say, well, Jesus had a different take on that.
Yeah.
So.
But good stuff. And now, Jay, can I ask you a question? I'm going to let you answer this question first, because I'm throwing a question out here that's mine.
Okay.
Well, let me do this one text, and I'm going to ask you my question. Greg Carwell said, the way I see it is religion is the things we do. Salvation is the work done inside of us by Jesus.
Yep.
I think that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm. And religion in itself is not bad, because it is the things we do on behalf of the Father. It's just we can never let that be the thing that saves us. And we should never let it become a source of pride and arrogance. That it should always come in humility. Religion should actually be very humble, mm-hmm, and reverence. And it's a privilege to do, not that God owes me something because I am doing it.
Yeah.
And
Jesus spoke out quite often about, you know, people who are doing things for others to see.
Yeah.
Like the Pharisees, or he spoke of not letting your right hand know what your left hand's doing, that sort of thing there.
Yeah. You know?
And that's where, I mean, I guess this has been an issue all down through history of people becoming religious instead of practicing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because actually there's, actually I taught on that last Wednesday night, that scripture.
That's what I was thinking.
Because actually there's nothing wrong with doing acts of religion openly.
Yeah.
It's just if you're expecting your glory and your reward to come from that.
Yeah.
And, because there is times that we do stuff openly and we give openly.
Yeah.
And if you do it a pure heart, sure, that's not what he was rebuking.
No, not at all.
He was rebuking them because they were not doing a pure heart. They were sounding the trumpet. They were they basically were doing something in public that they weren't doing in private.
Right.
And we've got to be the same person privately and publicly. So if we give in public, we better give privately. And so, yeah, that's good. But my question to you, I want to add to this. When is it too much calling God different names than what he's really called? Now, this can get into a question if we're going to say, like, modalism, and we're going to take it to oneness or anything like that, which I know we have some listeners that we differ a little bit on the Trinity. But, like, in the Old Testament, his name was Yehovah, Yahweh, what mm-hmm. we call it. That's translated in English, Yahweh. Like, we call him Jehovah. But Jehovah is not even a word that was even remotely known during the biblical times. Jehovah is actually a word that was developed. Most people can trace it back to the mid-late 1900s. That was pretty much when we can trace Jehovah back. But Yahweh is actually his name. So
right.
Do we call God the Father Yahweh, or do we call him what? What would you say if somebody asked you that?
I don't use the term Yahweh just because it's a Jewish term, and I'm not Jewish, but
you're grafted in.
Yes, but I don't speak the religion, or I speak the language. The language, sorry. But I mean, not that it doesn't bother me, but I just keep it very simple. You know, he's my heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I need. It's sort of like Peter, you know. I like the term as our Father, because it kind of relates. We can all relate to that, and but to make sure that we understand it, he's our heavenly Father. It's mm-hmm. it's not an earthly thing, and it's not a familiar thing, so to speak. It's he's something greater than.
Yeah.
And so,
you know. I'm gonna keep pushing. I'm playing devil's advocate. Is that right?
Yep.
All right. So, but what would you say to those then that say, because I do get this question. Like, yeah. I've had this debate with people. Well, we don't call Jesus God the Son.
No.
Our heavenly Son.
Yeah.
So why do we, they ask the question, why do we always just refer to God the Father as Father when the Jews called him Yahweh? And they said that was his name, Yehovah, which they wouldn't even write.
Right. They wouldn't even speak it. They would just use the term Yah.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't write the vowels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they would just shorthand it.
Or that, or they were even sometimes afraid to speak his name. And that was more of a traditional thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
like hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when I'm praying or I'm teaching or preaching, I will say Yahweh on behalf of the Father.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that people get confused because I don't call him Jehovah. If you want to do like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Raphael, that's a song. You know,
yeah.
I think that caught on. But it wouldn't actually be Jehovah. It would be Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh Jireh. I mean, I think, I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I'm just trying to figure out what you would say to people who, because I have been asked this quite a bit. Yeah. And I've had this, because they say, well, you called God the Son, Jesus, so why don't you call God the Father by what the Jews would say his name is?
What about Adonai?
The Adonai and Elohim were more descriptive titles.
Describing him.
Yeah. Adonai was maybe basically Lord. Elohim was creator. So if you hear Elohim, yeah. It's basically describing him as creator.
And Jesus referred to him as his Father.
Am I right on Miss Gretchen, right? Or am I backwards? Sometimes I get those backwards.
Well, I was looking up things, and sometimes people will say, they'll use the term the names of God, mm-hmm. which I don't think that's a good way to phrase it. Because he doesn't have a lot of names, you know, but they're more attributes of who he is.
I would
is.
Say Jesus is his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would just, you know, that's what I was kind of thinking, you know, there, you know, so you have to be careful there, I think. That I don't think it offends him, you know.
Yeah.
But it probably would offend religious people. But, yeah, I... You know, we've had a lot of, you know, Jewish influence in the past, you know, and sometimes it kind of gets confusing to people, you know, like, okay, well, what can I say then, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you may need to be careful there that you don't.
I don't know a lot of Hebrew, that's why.
Yeah.
I don't either. And, you know. I'm not saying I even agree with anything. I'm asking you what you do with this, because these are questions I've got asked too. And I always don't have a good answer, because again, I love my Hebraic roots, brothers and sisters, but we disagree on some stuff, and so it's, and I think to honor where we came from and what we're grafted into, and that Israel is God's chosen people. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We honor them, yes, but I think we can get carried away, and we almost become Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that again, and I think we have to be very cautious of that.
There's so much that amazing things that, you know, you learn because we're not Jewish or we haven't had, you know, Jewish teachings, you know, and understanding, you know, just our roots there, and then I'll be amazed, you know, at some of the things that I'm like, wow, that really makes sense then, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when you read something in the Bible and then understand the Jewishness of it, you know. And, you know, then, you know, it's enlightening. But yeah, I do, you know, just what our English Bible says, you know, about the name of Jesus and, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the future with that, you know, and then how it... you know, we'll be persecuted because of his name, you know, and so different things like that. So I think that, you know, it's good to just stick with what we know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You know, just in the John 6, as you know, we've been studying that, you know, Jesus refers to God as his father or the father numerous times just in that one chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why that's the terminology that I use.
Yeah. I use whatever comes out of my mouth. I don't care. The only one I don't call him a lot, like when I'm praying, is I'm teaching. I don't know if I ever called him that, but I will say Father a lot when I pray. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just say God. Like, you know, I think he knows what our hearts is.
Sure.
And then sometimes when I'm teaching, especially in the Trinity, I'll say Yahweh or Yehovah or something like that. That's about all the Hebrew I know, so I feel really special when I say Yehovah. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but I'm close. But the only word I don't know why, and people's gonna like they do with you with Mary. Did you know people's probably gonna really be upset with me, and I'm gonna get
probably not as upset.
I will probably get critiqued in Walmart next time I see somebody. The only name I really don't call him a lot is Jehovah. I don't know what it is like. There's just something in there with me. I'm not saying it's bad. Not saying it's bad whatsoever. I just don't know if I really, unless I'm singing the song, Jehovah Jireh. But I don't think I've referred to him a lot as Jehovah.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. I don't.
And I'm not saying it's bad. Like, I'm not. I don't know why. I just don't a lot. I just, I know it's a relatively new term for the church. It's not been there for a long time from what I can study. But, I'm with Ms. Gretchen. I don't want to get hung up on it. I was more or less asking you what you do with these kind of questions, because they do come up quite a bit with people, especially when you do get into Hebraic root study and you're talking about that. Or, you know, and then there's some people I think really take it too far and they say, well, you should never say Jesus. You should always say Yahshua. And I'm like,
I never could get that when you Yehovah.
Yeah.
It never would come out right, so I just
Yehovah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how to say what is it, Yashima, Yahash, what is it, Mashiach, Yap.
I don't even know what y'all talking about.
Baruch.
No, it's like
I'm on a website right now that it's called an one for Israel, but I don't think it's a Jewish, but it's maybe a site that's for Israel, but not.
Yeah.
And it's talking about the name of God.
Brother Adam, who was on with us the other day as a guest, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to be a part of that. I did listen to it, and it was great. He said, we call him Father because that is what Jesus calls him. Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
I just call him Dad
a lot.
I say, Dad, I need help again.
And then Brother Greg Carwell said, we are chosen people as well. Jesus said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I am the vine and you are the branches. Speak to him in truth, whatever language is true to you. I think as long as we have a pure heart about it and we are really, I mean, there is sometimes I'm praying and I just almost call him dad, like, mm-hmm. you know, I think we can get carried away. And that's what I tell people a lot when they come to me with all these names and titles and
yeah.
like, shouldn't we only call him Yahweh? Shouldn't we only call him Yahshua? And I go back to always, I think it's a heart issue. I think it's a heart issue. And if your heart's pure in what you are calling him, then I think it's...
That can almost be legalistic if we focus too much on the what we call him, because the Lord knows our thoughts before we even think it. The Lord knows our intentions.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, if you start calling him Muhammad or something, you got a problem. We need to at least be in the ballpark. But,
right, that's not his name, right?
Yeah, no. Or Allah or anything
if
like that.
If it's just flat out, you know, blasphemy, right. then yeah.
Yeah, we shouldn't but I think we it, have to be careful. And I think Jesus warned us of getting too traditional or methodical with how we do things. So I just wanted to pick your brain to see what you tell people, because these are conversations I do have. These are real conversations for me I have.
You know, I think the thing to remember is that, you know, he is God, and there's a level of respect there, of a reverence, yes. a fear of the Lord. And if you just throw around terminology to sound hip or cool or whatever, mm-hmm. then you're missing it, because he is, you know, a jealous God, but he's also, he demands our, you know, the Bible uses the term fear, but our respect.
Yeah.
You know.
Please never call him homeboy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Those stuff shirts. Like yeah. Oh, just get
I'm
them.
I'm just thinking about your, you know, I don't think my dad would have appreciated
yeah.
any kind of, you know, cool hip name either. You
right.
know?
And that's why I like to use the term Heavenly Father, because it elevates that term to remind me that he's still God. He's my Father, but he's also God.
Mm-hmm. You know? But when you pray, you probably don't say,
oh, Heavenly Father. No, I don't do that.
Yeah. yeah. Your you know, Father or
yeah.
Lord or whatever.
Yeah. Lord is probably what I use more than anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of tongues right
Hebrew
there.
Right there. I've said this often, but Rich Mullins used to say that if you're going to speak Hebrew, you have to sound like you're, or actually you have to like, almost like you're hawking up a loogie.
Now, how am I supposed
he
to segue
said,
into
if you're
this?
Not doing that, you don't have the gift.
All right. Monday question number two, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. What apostle had his chains removed by an angel? What apostle had his chains removed by an angel? 270-257-2689. We're going to draw for last 2 weeks drawing for those book package whenever we get back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. We're still, Jason like just jumped up in the middle of the break. I thought I didn't know if White Castle's hitting him or Holy Ghost was getting a hold of him finally, because that's my prayer, is that one day Jason's just going to let her fly. Maybe it was that Rich Mullins song we listened to on the first break.
That
it
was
really,
a good song. Yeah.
I could tell you were really into it. I really
forgot about that song. That is a good song.
It is. Amy Grant butchered it, but that's all right.
Well, I mean,
he wrote it for her. But
I saw your face light up, yeah. And so
he wrote it for her to sing, not for her. But
yeah, all well, right.
I got a cramp in my leg. It probably was from those stupid White Castles.
Frank McCaslin got the answer right. Monday, question number two, it was what apostle had his chains removed by his angels? It was Frank McCaslin got it right. It was Peter, Acts 12:6-7. Again, Peter, Acts 12:6-7 was the one. All right, Mariah, are you ready to draw? All right, she's got her little handy dandy.
She's got the spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel over here. I don't know where she found it, but she found it and... You can just put the names in there, and it randomly picks a winner. Now, I like being over in this corner because I can see who's going to be the winner.
I can't see that well, but.
Miss Lisa Ashbaugh got the answer right. Congratulations, Miss Lisa. It even does fireworks and confetti and does it all. All right, Miss Lisa got the answer right for those last 2 weeks, so we'll get that book package sent out to you as soon as we possibly can. And so...
We had some trouble with the Dairy Queen gift card, trying to get that to Dwayne Kidd, and I don't know what happened. So, Dwayne, we're still trying. I was supposed to mail it off last week, and then everything that was going on, I was going to remail it. And so, so we're going to do that again. I'll get that taken care of today, Brother Dwayne. I'm sorry for all the struggles with that. He's been waiting on Dairy Queen for over a month now. I don't know what the problem was with the mailing, but our mailing around here, they just don't even whoever does our mail here on where we live in the campus, instead of distributing a lot of the right boxes, they just basically give it to us and make us distribute to everybody. I was like, I didn't know we were signing up for the mail.
Subcontractor.
I'm waiting for my paycheck. Like, where's my 1099 stuff? I mean, like, where's this at? And so we John and Miss Gretchen and all them, they're mail distributors sometimes at this point. And so, but God is good. God is faithful. I do want to reiterate one last thing before we go is don't get hung up on it. Just, I do like what Jason said. I do think it's very significant for what Jason said. I don't always say Jason says profound things, but when he does, I give him credit, is that I do think it's very important in whatever we do call him, that honor and respect is in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I'm just telling you, like, the whole Jesus is my homeboy. There's two of them that bothers me. Jesus is my homeboy, and Jesus is my co-pilot. Oh, I don't want to be my. I want to be
his
pilot.
That's pretty pathetic.
I don't want to be no co-pilot in this plane. I figured out when I get my hand on the steering wheel and I start steering my own life, it never goes well. Mm-hmm. I steer us into walls. I steer us into the cones in the middle of the road. I just need him to take the wheel. You want me to sing that song, Jason? You sang Mary, Did You Know? Jesus, take the wheel.
Now that one's even worse. I would rather hear Mary, Did You Know 100 times than that other one. That's not even biblical. At least Mary, Did You Know is biblical.
All right.
Well, I just kept thinking about, you know, the Bible says, like, many will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, and he will say, you know, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And I think the emphasis should be, I mean, yes, obviously, like, we should not disrespect the Lord ever, but do we know the Lord that we're speaking about?
Sure.
Do we know him? Or are we just saying his name and not knowing who we speak of?
Yeah. I think we do that with prayer a lot, is that we just pray some off-the-wall thing and then say, in Jesus' name.
Right.
Because if we add in Jesus' name, it's like the... What do they do in Peter Pan when they wanted people to fly?
I don't know.
What's that called? The dust.
Pixie dust?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Fairy dust. I think pixie dust.
I don't know. It's kind of like we treat that that as like the fairy dust kind of thing. Like, poof, everything's going to go great. And I don't think that's the case whatsoever.
I will say that one time I was in this store and there wasn't anybody else in there, and I was getting ready to check out, and something happened. I can't remember now the lady that was at the register, and she used the name of Jesus. She just as kind of like a cuss word,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it kind of like almost felt like I needed to move back and just waiting for lightning to strike. You know, it was weird. It was just you know, and I haven't ever heard people use it very much. I mean, I've heard them use God as part of a cuss word, but not the word Jesus, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that it was offensive, and it was just I don't even have words to describe how I felt, but it was just like you don't use his name, you know, like that, you know. So
well, I've heard stuff like that too, and and I'd be like, and I'm sometimes a smart aleck about it, like somebody will say something like that and say his name in a derogatory way. And I'd be like, ooh, the name above all names. Hallelujah. Me in the middle of Walmart and something do that. And
I've heard a lot of young kids now saying, like, whenever they get angry, saying Jesus Christ, but in a way that's like, not the right way.
Yeah.
It's out of anger that they're saying that, and almost like saying it to someone or against someone, mm-hmm. and not out of a place of, you know, it's like instead of saying a cuss word, they're using his name as a cuss word.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
In the place of.
Yes, in the place of. And I just don't, it never sits well with me. I'm always like, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're hearing it from somewhere, because I do think that one of my kids the other day. Well, it was one of the, it was our little girl who we're adopting. She said something the other day. Something happened, and she said Jesus' name. Not like she didn't say any cuss word, but mm-hmm. she said it in a way that was derogatory. And I just, I mean, it's like, just let her have it in the middle of the living room. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't do that. And I think that a lot of them just hear it. And yeah. they hear it on YouTube. They hear it on television. They hear it on whatever. And I think we have to be, I think as parents, I didn't like jump her, discipline her or anything like that. I just told her. I like let her have it. Like, this is why we don't do it. This is why we don't. And I think as parents, we need to lead. And mm-hmm. And I don't think we have to like lay the axe down the first time, because most of the time they don't know. And it's our responsibility to educate and bring up why the name of Jesus is so important, why it's so sacred and why it's so holy. And now if they keep doing it, that's a different thing. But I think we sure. use that time to educate. And that's what I did. And I haven't had a problem with her since then. This was a while ago because, mm-hmm. you know, she got educated on it. And
well, I will say that I have heard people say that, you know, maybe like kind of like they were calling it out to him for a need. And I will say, and that's a good one to call upon, you know. Mm-hmm. So if they're, you know, if, they, mm-hmm. if they're using it, but I really don't feel like they really – really were calling on him, but just mm-hmm. you know.
All right, getting caught up on a couple things. Jason, please remember the repercussions of saying you don't like a song, either that or tune up that vocal. So Jesus, take the wheel is your next one.
I do have someone text about that. They said when people say that, I guess referring to, you know, using the name of Jesus, I tell them he had nothing to do with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've done that too. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I have done the name above every name, or what a great name that is, isn't it? And mm-hmm. sometimes that's a conversation starter, and sometimes you thinking you're going to hit in the face with a purse. Like mm-hmm. it's one of the two. One listener said, can you explain 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14? What was the evil spirit of the Lord? So let's go to 1 Samuel 16:14. This is on the fly question. So
give a favorite yeah. kind.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Mm-hmm. And that's verse 14.
Yep.
Well, where's that again?
1 Samuel 16.
16:14.
Okay. That's what's said. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question?
What was that evil spirit of the Lord? So I think their question is revolving
from
around.
It says yes. From the Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
14:16 or 16:14?
16:14.
Okay.
I may have
says
said 14,
that
16.
John Wesley said that by God's permission. Who delivered him up to be buffeted of Satan.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think to unpack this a little bit here, I actually would side with John Wesley on that one. I think it's his permission. But I think this is also where we start to, up above, learn from David. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. I'm going to read from the ESV for a minute. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So right then, David is being anointed. He has been set forth as king, basically. He's being anointed. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him because why? Saul has basically, I guess, fallen. Is that a fair term? Mm-hmm. And now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So the Spirit of the Lord went upon David. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And then a harmful spirit of the Lord tormented him. I see that as there is permission of a spirit to torment Saul. Yeah. Like that's what I would be saying, that it's basically God's judgment over Saul. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. Well, we know who that person eventually is, but I think that this is basically the Lord is allowing, giving permission for this harmful spirit or this evil spirit to torment Saul. Not saying that necessarily, like, I think we always got to remember, even with the fallen angels, mm-hmm. they are not exclusive or they're not outside of God's sovereignty.
And by saying that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, it's like the story about when you sweep
the house
and then if you don't, you know, if the spirit will come back worse, sure. You know, mm-hmm. That's kind of like what's happening here with Saul. The Spirit of God was out, you know, no longer with him. And so evil spirits are going to come. A question, does the ESV, do you notice, like in my Bible and then in the Power Bible, always have Lord in all caps?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does in that one too.
In the ESV too. And you know that the interlinear for that is Yehovah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Yehovah. So. Yep.
Well, if the Spirit of the Lord is there, there's no room for an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the important thing for us to remember.
Mm-hmm. You know,
when it says, neither give place to the devil. And where is that at? Is that in James or Ephesians? I think it's Ephesians. You know, you can't give place to the devil if you're full of the Holy Spirit. You know, so that's if we remember that.
In Ephesians.
Yeah. Then, you know, the devil can't come in.
Yeah.
You know, there's no place there for him.
Yeah. But I do think too, though. Go ahead.
But what would you say about someone? You know, when you're saved and born again, mm-hmm. you have the Holy Spirit living in you.
Yeah.
But what if you still have a door? If you still have a door open. You're still partnering with sin, and you have a door open. That sin will give place to the enemy to enter.
But I think
enter your life to torment you. To you know,
and I think that gets back to where we can't serve two masters. I think that's where we sometimes kind of want to hold on to the Holy Ghost, but then we want to hold on to the sin too. And there's a dichotomy there that just won't work. And I think there is.
I think it was Oswald Chambers that said either the Holy Spirit or the devil is dying in you,
mm-hmm.
one or the other.
That's good.
Yeah, you just can't have a dichotomy. There's no room for a dichotomy. Like you, and I think like Paul, I mean not Paul, like with Saul right here, it's showing us the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Why? Because, well, the Spirit of the Lord did rush upon David. And in this instance, it's kind of like it's the mark, it's the seal, it's the sign of I've equipped them for this purpose. There's an anointing. There's a setting apart. And then the harmful spirit from the Lord is tormenting him at this point. And I think that there's this exchange because Saul did sin. Like, Saul basically sinned, and he just wanted to look right before the people. And because he just wanted to look right before the people, he never wanted to deal with the sin. He just wanted to deal with the appearance of who he was so the people would still respect him and think he was a man of God called for this purpose.
Let me ask you this. My study Bible says God gave Saul over to an evil spirit as punishment for his sins.
It's judgment. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think I tried to say that earlier is that I think this was a judgment to Saul.
And then it says, naturally, when the Holy Spirit left him, he was open to an evil spirit of torment from Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because even if you go back to what Jesus talked about with Miss Gretchen, if you clean the house and you don't fill the house, the enemy will come back seven times stronger. And so often what our problem is with us as Christians is the reason that we're facing vexation or they're facing demonic oppression or anything like that is because we're not filling the house. If we would fill the house, the enemy has no place for it. And that's what the New Testament would say, give no place for the devil. Well, how do we give no place to the devil? Is we submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We fill ourselves with the Word of God. We fill ourselves with worship. We fill ourselves with the things of the Lord. And if we fill ourselves with that, there is no place for the enemy mm-hmm. to come in. We give
if
no
we're
place.
We're completely full with the Spirit.
Well, the difference between Saul and David, you know, I mean, David sinned as well.
Yeah,
you know, and what does it say there that the Spirit of the Lord was on David when he was anointed there? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You know, well, David made some mistakes too, some gross sins. You know, but he always repented.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, God received that. You know, Saul was just was filled with jealousy and what was it, the envy that you know come upon him. You know, and he never.
Yeah, I was just looking at.
He never repented of that, you know, and it overcame him, you know.
Got.
I was just looking at the Samuel 18 chapter 18 verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. There's where that jealousy comes from.
Yeah.
He knew that God's spirit, which should have been with him, was with David.
Sure. And when David sinned, he would do stuff like, take not thy spirit from me, forgive me. I've transgressed. Like
against
David cried
and you
out.
Only have I sinned.
Yes. And David was so persistent on having his relationship with God right. Like, I don't want your spirit taken from me. Saul was just the opposite. Saul was like, look, it's fine. I don't really care about all that. I just want to look right in front of the people. And I think that was the dichotomy between those. Like, you had
one. It was
one,
a hard issue.
You had one that wanted to be right, and you had one that wanted to look right.
Mm-hmm.
Religion, like we said earlier, wants to look right. Kingdom-minded, more walking in the Spirit, wants to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the separation between David and Saul. And I think, too, though, that question could have more underlining themes of, well, it seems like the Lord is sending tormenting spirits. And I would say he is. Like, I'm not going to shy away from that, because if you go back to Ahab, we remember the story of Ahab, and what did the Lord do in the spirit of Ahab? He sent a lying spirit to the prophets. And so he actually sent a lying spirit so that the prophets, is that what it said? Is that the exact language, Miss Gretchen? You know what I'm talking about, Jason? Hannah, you know that one? The Lord sends a lying spirit to the prophets of Ahab, and they lie to him, and then he's killed in the battle. It's judgment for Ahab, basically. But the Lord allowed this to happen. They gave permission. He sent it. I think sometimes we think because God is loving, he's also not just, and he's not also judge, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you say, like, you know, Saul doing this, Saul?
Mm-hmm.
Would be the equivalent today of like someone renouncing the faith, someone like walking away,
like an apostate kind of deal.
Because I mean, he had the spirit, and he still.
Here's the thing about Saul, though.
But it's also before Jesus, so I know it's different. Well, it's hard to compare it because it was before the covenant was.
Well, in the Old Testament, we have what we say shadows. So it's like a shadow. It's a forward shadow of what's
foreshadowing.
Coming.
Yeah.
But I'm not for sure with Saul. Like, if you would, like, I'm trying to work through that because I don't know how much of a man of God Saul ever was. Like, the reason Saul became king was he was head and shoulders above the rest. He was the handsome one. He looked the part, and the people wanted him as king just because he looked the part. I don't know, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, did the scripture ever talk about him being overwhelmingly zealous for the Lord?
I don't think so. I would kind of classify him kind of like we do as a cultural Christian today.
Mm-hmm.
People who know, you know, what they should say, and I'm sure at the right moment he spoke the right things, because that's what, you know, he was a good Jewish boy, and he knew what he was supposed to say and do. But I doubt he ever had a true heart for the Lord.
Yeah.
But then, you know,
he checked off all the boxes, so to speak.
Seems like, you know, when we were talking about that he was scared of David, fearful of David, or jealous, he knew then. Like, it seemed like that maybe woke him up after he hit the, you know, after the evil spirit came.
Yeah.
And that's what it took to kind of wake him up to, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think for him it was there was a jealousy at that point. And I think there was a fear, like, I'm going to lose my position. I'm going to lose my authority. But it was a little while until he actually lost his authority.
Yeah.
And honestly, the way he really lost his authority is he lost his influence because and I think this kind of started before, because if you go back into it and you start to look at the whole picture, well, I mean, you're getting ready to forward think a little bit because David and Goliath was what, 1 Samuel 17 or 18?
Say it again.
Which one was David and Goliath? Was that 1 Samuel 17?
17, yeah.
I think it's 17, the next chapter.
Yeah, 17.
18, I know, is where it said that Saul, you know, eyed David.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, from that day forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17 was Goliath.
But it escalated whenever he slayed Goliath. And they started to say, oh, Saul had his thousands, but David had his 10,000.
That's in chapter 18, too.
And,
verse 7.
That had to get under Saul's skin even more because David only killed one person.
Was said, and Saul was very wroth.
Yes.
And the saying displeased him, you know, yeah. what they said about David.
Because Saul had actually fought people and won. David killed the one, but in killing the one, he actually fought that 10,000s because he stopped the war. And Saul was even jealous then. So Saul just progressively got more jealous and more jealous. And then David slowly starts to pretty much get everything from Saul. He starts to marry into the family, gets his daughter. Then he's, you know, Saul tries to kill him, and David had the opportunity to kill him, and he didn't because he said, touch not that anointed, even though Saul really was not as anointed anymore. But yet he was still the king, and David saw the respect and the honor for the authority. And David pretty much just outdid Saul at every corner. And I think it just tore Saul apart. I do think Saul was, you could kind of shadow in the sense of an apostate where he left. But I don't know if it was a full shadow just for the sake of, I don't know how much his heart was ever geared towards the Father. One listener said, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words, abide in you, ask of the Father what you will. David abided with God and God's word with him. So when he went to God, God was there to receive him.
Yep.
I think David was enamored with the Father. I think he loved the Father. I think he was consumed by the Father. I think everything about David was the Father. He had his instrument in the field, shepherding sheep, talking, writing songs about the Father, writing songs about the Messiah.
Yeah. And, well, we throw the term around, you know, he's a man after God's own heart. We throw it around almost like it.
Flippantly.
Yeah.
But he really was.
It was, yeah.
It's like David was consumed with God's heart. Saul was consumed with his hairstyle on the mirror.
Yeah.
And I think that's the separation. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, get settled in here, and then Miss Megan Fortner is going to come on as our guest, and she's going to be talking about the love of God. Amen. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back, Mornings with Box 2, and Pastor Aaron had to step away for just a moment, but we'll hold down the fortress without him. And we have our guest with us this morning, Miss Megan Fortner. Are you with us, Megan?
Yes, good morning.
All right. Glad to have you back and excited for what God is doing for you and through you. And I want to give you an opportunity to remind our listeners of who you are and what ministry you have, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay, praise God. Well, my name is Megan Fortner. I'm from northern Missouri. I am a woman on fire for God and for whatever he has for me, but I have recently just dropped a podcast, and I recently just got a YouTube channel going, Faith and Fire with Megan Fortner. But what I'm doing is I'm just traveling all over, bringing the love, bringing the word, and just teaching people how to fight of faith, because that's the power and that's the thing that God's put in my heart, just teaching people how to fight of faith.
That's great.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So we have Here in our studio, myself, Jason Miller, and then my mother, Miss Gretchen Miller, and
good morning, Miss Megan.
Good morning.
And then also, I don't think she was with us when you were on the last time, Miss Hannah Hayes. She's a new co-host there, so.
I'm loving having another woman on here. I'm excited. I've heard great things about you, Megan.
I'm greatly outnumbered. We have Miss Mariah Shields in the studio, so 4-1. I may as well just shut up and let you guys talk. You gals talk.
Surrounded by good company.
That's
hallelujah.
Right. That's right. So you mentioned your podcast, and tell us a little bit more about that. Fighting the fight, you said.
Yeah, so my podcast is Faith and Fire with Megan Fortner, because it's just something that God's put in my heart, a passion and a fire to teach people how to fight the fight of faith and how to, you know, basically just keep the devil in the arena of faith to where whenever all this stuff comes against us, we know how to overcome, that we already overcome, but we know how to fight him and tell him where to go. Like, get out. I don't need you. All these things you're trying to put on me, I'm not doing this. I know I have the victory. I know where I stand. I know whose I am. I know where I sit in heavenly places with the Father. And so I just love to teach people how to do that, because in the world, he likes to put oppression, depression, anxiety, fear, and all these, you know, sickness, all these things on us. And a lot of times people just don't know how to overcome that and how to fight that and realize who they are. So that's just a passion that God has put in my heart, just because I've had to fight the fight of faith a lot. So it's something that he's really put in me, and how to love people. Like, I just want to love people so people see the love of God, that it's real. It's a tangible thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, I mean, I can hear it in your voice. You're that passion, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like you mentioned that you have, you know, experience in that, you know, fighting that fight, you know, to reminding the devil who he is and reminding him of who you are in Christ. You know, maybe share a little bit more about that, like from as far as your experiences and all that, you know.
Yeah, praise God. So something my dad in faith, Pastor Mark Hankins, has said, you know, he told me if you can't fight the devil in the arena of faith, if he gets you out, he'll whip you every time. And so that really just impressed my heart, where I was like, no wonder I am getting beat up, because something will come against me, like, say, you know, people are talking about me, or somebody, you know, whatever the case may be. At one time, I got a bad report, you know, and so instead of standing in faith and going to the Word of God, I just sat there and wanted to, you know, stir the pot of all the stuff that's coming into my mind. And so I was like, what is going on here? Why am I just shrinking back? Why do I feel like I'm so small and my problem is so big? Well, that's because I didn't fight the devil until cast these thoughts out and cast these feelings out, like the Bible tells us to, at the feet of Jesus. And I wasn't telling the devil what I knew, because if we're silent about what we know in the Word of God, then he doesn't care. He's like, she's not going to say it. She's not going to do it. She's not going to believe it. So I'm just going to keep attacking her with everything that I have. Yeah. And so when my dad in faith told me, he said, you know, the devil doesn't care what you know if you're silent about it. And I was like, that makes sense.
Wow.
No wonder, you know, no wonder I'm sitting here depressed and don't want to get up out of bed or whatever the case is. But I tell you right now, that don't happen to me anymore.
Because
amen. I know what the Word says. I know how to speak against it. I know what the Bible tells me to do, and casting those thoughts and feelings out, that we don't live by our feelings and emotions and every thought. And that every thought that comes into our mind is not ours, because the mind is where the devil likes to attack us. So I just channel every thought that I have through the Word of God and what I know about the truth of the Word. And it has changed my life.
Amen.
It has actually changed my life. Yeah, praise God.
So the scriptures tell us, and I can't remember the exact verse, but to take every thought captive.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're talking about there, like as far as like when the devil sends those thoughts to you and everything?
Yeah, like you just apply what the Word says. And like you said, the Word says, take every thought captive, cast it out at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus already took these things for us. So yeah. Why do we keep taking them back? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's already paid for it all. So why are we continuing to entertain it and take it from him when he says, I already took this, why are you taking it back? You know, so that's just something that when that thought comes into my mind, like a negative thing that's towards a situation, I'm like, no, I'm not taking this today. I know that's not something that, you know, that's not who I'm created to be. And I just say, Lord, I give this to you, and I'm going to stand in my victory, and I'm going to walk in my victory knowing that this is already done. You've already taken care of it, and I'm just going to walk in that with my peace and my head held high and my sound mind.
That was in the 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 that he was referring to. I dwelt on that scripture a lot at a time when I needed to bring into captivity every thought that was against Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Thank God.
Yeah. were you going to say something?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
So,
why don't I just read that scripture?
Yeah, do it.
It says 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Well,
yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you are... earlier we were talking about, or we were studying John 6, in which Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I made the comment that, you know, that should be our mentality. You know, we don't have any other option. You are,
right.
You know, Jesus, you are our only option. And right. I think once we have that settled in our mind, that, you know, these other things, these other distractions and things that the devil throws at us, you know, they're not an option for us. only right. you, Lord. You know, and yes. once we settle that, then, you know, it makes our, you know, it makes it so much easier because we're not, you know, surrounded by those distractions. They're there, but we they're in their proper place. If
right.
I don't know if that makes sense or not. But.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to read a text that I got from someone. Miss Mary said, "Gosh, I can relate to her. If someone is talking about us, that's good. We are doing something right for God, and we got yeah. that devil on the run. God bless
yeah.
her."
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's just a fight. You know, my husband and I battled a fight for over 3 years of attack. But as soon as we started walking strongly in the Lord and knowing who we are and how to battle these fights, you know, we had attacks from every side. But like the Bible says, you're going to get attacked on every side. You may be hard pressed on every side, but it brings character. It brings dirt. You know, it brings all these things unto us. But what I can say is that once you do it, so, you know, you're hearing us talk about cast these thoughts out, these vain imaginations and all these things that come against you. Once you do it and you see that it works, you don't want to do anything else, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, she's saying that, but does it really work? I challenge you to try it. Because it will work, and that will build you up and edify you to where you're like, all right, I've got this, and the devil's not going to take anything from me. He's not going to shake me. Even if it looks like in the world that he's winning, he does not win against you ever. So you just stand in the word of God and just apply it, because when we apply it, that's what changes our life, and that's what changes a nation, teaching people how to apply the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
What are maybe some good verses or promises that maybe that you have used, you know, just to, like you said, you know, to stand firm and to fight that fight, you know, maybe share that a couple with the listeners or, you know, just some things or tactics or like some verses that you have, you know, that stuck with you down through the years.
Right. So the scripture in Isaiah that talks about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Mm. That is the mm-hmm. very first one that I use anytime an attack comes. I'm like, no, devil, I cast you out. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's a promise to me as being a Christian, is no weapon will prosper. So I stand on that.
Yeah.
And then I go to Ephesians 2 and I say, I am seated in heavenly places. I am not the head. I am not the tail. I am powerful. I have the authority. And because the Holy Spirit lives in me, so I talk about how I'm seated in heavenly places and all this is under my feet. No matter what comes, it's under my feet. Powers and principalities of the devil are under my feet. His schemes are under my feet, and it's not going to bring me down to his level. I'm going to stay elevated where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
What was that verse?
So
Isaiah again. Isaiah what now?
I think it's Isaiah 54. Let me find it. I didn't have it marked. I had all these other ones marked, and then everything everything shifted, and I was like, I knew God. I knew you were going to do this. You do this to me every time. I was like, yeah, I have it.
That's marked. Fine.
What was the verse? Quote it again, and I'll look it up for you real quick.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
It is Isaiah 54, verse, looks like 16. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This
go.
Is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is for me, says the Lord. And that is one that we put on a board in our home, because when we were going through this fight for 3.5 years, we wanted to see that verse every time we walked through the house. And then we would say it, you know, this is what we say. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every lying tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. It is shut off, it is shut up, and it doesn't do anything in our life. So that's the main one we stood on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I remember I had a friend in high school, and he had it actually laminated above his shower. So in the morning when he took a shower for it, he had the verses. I think it's is it Philippians 4:8, where it talks about every think on these things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, think on these things. And he had it right there. So every morning when he got dressed, he took a shower, he was reminded of that verse, you know. So
wow.
That's good that you did that with the Isaiah scripture. And the other one was in Ephesians, right?
Yeah, Ephesians 2, if you have your, it's, let me find it, where it says that you are seated above, let me see if I can find it
places,
here. Yeah. Where is that? I had it right here. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for all good works which he prepared.
Oh, yeah.
It just sits here. It says verse 6, and he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. Because whenever you become a new creation, you are now in Christ.
Yes.
Everything that Christ did, you now have the power and authority to do. And it even says that when he went to be with the Father, even greater things can you do. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is within you. Because before he went to heaven, we didn't have the Holy Spirit in us. Well, when he went to heaven, he brought us the hidden help. The hidden help is the one that pulls you out of the pit whenever you're in your deepest, darkest moment. The Holy Spirit's the one that gives you the power and authority to cast out devils, cast out demons, and do everything that God has called us to do on this earth.
Amen.
So it just puts you in a power of authority because you are now kings and queens in the kingdom of heaven. And so whenever the devil comes against you, you know, I'm seated in heavenly places. I have the power and authority, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And everything you're trying to do is under my feet because it's already condemned. It's already been taken care of, and I don't have to worry about it. I just have to do my part by standing in faith, not wavering, speaking the word, and God's going to do the rest.
Yes, that's so good. I think something that, you know, I think we struggle with sometimes until we get to this point and know the truth is knowing that it's not us doing the fighting, it's God doing the fighting for us.
Amen.
We rest in him because he fights for us, and that's how we have victory, because he fought for us at the cross.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to get those verses out there, because I want our listeners to be able to draw on that, and use those tactics.
Yes.
So maybe there's somebody out there that needs to just jot those verses down
and
start using them today. Would you say Isaiah 54:16 and Ephesians 2:6? Was that it, right?
I believe it was 6, yes.
Yep. All right.
I turned it again. So.
Sorry. Got you working. I'm like working this morning.
Trying to find the extension. Yeah, 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. Yeah.
So. Like I said, some of our listeners may need that today, and we firmly believe that these guests that we bring on, they're divinely appointed, and I firmly believe that there's somebody that really needs to hear that today.
Yes, me too. This is actually everything that you're talking about, Megan, is some things that the Lord has been speaking to me lately and growing and stretching me. And I just love how you're bringing the practicality to the table, because I think this is practical steps of how to fight the enemy and how to fight well. I just love it, because I think that sometimes we get caught up sometimes in things that, theories and just thinking through things. And I think the Lord wants our minds to stretch, but there's something about giving just a practical word of how. Sometimes we don't know how to do things because we don't ask, but I feel like the Lord is speaking through you, like showing us how to fight, how to do these things, and practical scriptures we can use to pray and to shout when we need to shout it against the enemy, because sometimes he gets in our head. He's can be so loud, and we just have to be louder than him and say, nope, I'm speaking the truth, speaking the scripture.
Absolutely. some things that I do that happens to me is, like you were talking about being so loud. So like your problem can be so loud. Your issue, your circumstance, your whatever can be so loud that all you can look at is that problem, because maybe whatever it is. I mean, it can be something small that's so big. So then we look at our problem and we amplify the problem because it's standing right before us. Mm-hmm. But like in Mark 11:23, it tells you that it's a mountain, right? The problem is just a mountain. It's an issue. It's a hindrance. But the Bible gave us a promise that you can say to that mountain, be thy removed, cast into the sea, and believe that which you say, and you will have what you say. But then, like you just said a second ago, this is in Matthew, Matthew 7:6, verse 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and a door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and who knocks, the door will be opened. So it is our job to stand on the promises and speak the promises against the problem. And remember, God is who we keep our gaze on. Jesus, we keep our gaze there. So the problems and things, we can cast them out. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and that was something that they showed you in the word to show you that you can do the same thing. The root of the problem, speak to it. Let it die out. Cast it into the sea, and it will never be seen again. And it won't come again a second time. These are promises the word gives you. And these are things that God just put before my eyes whenever we were going through this issue. And he goes, I'm raising you up so you can teach others how to fight the fight of faith. And we don't have to make it complicated. It is super simple. And yeah. he's like, break it down, you know, break it down, because it is a power that God put in me where he's like, you have to teach them how to fight the fight of faith. And while you're doing that, I want you to surround them with my love, because it's my love and the power and authority that I have and the salvation that I've given them on the cross that's going to rise them up into who I have created them to be.
Amen. I wanted you to talk a little bit more about the love, how that's been on your heart.
Oh, so God has, well, I spoke about this a while back when I was on, but, you know, the love of God is what saved me in a time that I wanted to end my life. And it was just him showing up in me. And then during my walk with Christ, I have had people that have come against me and treated me horrible, right? And so it was something where I just went to God and I said, I don't understand, you know, why would, you know, believers or whatever, you know, why would this happen to me? And he says, I want you to get in my love and I want you to study my love, because I want you to be a representation of the love of God. And I said, okay. So what it is I don't look at issues anymore. I don't look at problems. I just love people. Like, yeah. I just, if they come against me, the best thing you can do is just love them and go on and just pray for them. So he is just, it's just something Amen. That radiates within me.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a listener text in two other verses, just reminders there. Jeremiah 29:11, which I think a lot of us are familiar with. Go ahead, Mom, with that.
Okay, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Yeah, and then Isaiah 41:10, which is one I forget about a lot, but it's a great verse.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness.
Yeah.
So.
Amen.
Yeah, that's definitely a confession that I say, you know, whenever I found, when I feel cast down, I'm like, no, he holds me up with his righteous right hand. I'm strengthened by his power and might in Christ Jesus. You know, it's just things that God, as you study the word and you start to speak them, it's just in your heart, and you know that when that comes against you, what is in your heart and what wells up out of the spirit is the words that God gave you in a time that you were struggling, and it's something that you hold on to and you speak against every time something comes.
Amen. I love how the Lord is just prompting you to study his love, and something that he's really been drawing to my attention with just everything that's going on, the awakening in the nation right now, is just how, and with the Asbury revival, is just how love has been so perverted for so long in so many generations. And, you know, the God creates, but the enemy perverts. God is love, right. But the enemy tries to copycat and pervert love and present it as, you know, attractive and what people want. But there's so many people that only know perverted love, and they've only been shown that through their families, through their friends, or through generational curses of perversion. And I truly believe that, I believe you're spot on with that, that the Lord is working through that and wanting many of us to be an embodiment of his love to people. Because I truly believe when people encounter his love, like pure love, that's what changes. That's what brings transformation.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to like John 13:34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And I have, just as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. And then it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So people are going to know Christ, and that we follow him through the love that we show to others. It's an unconditional love. It doesn't matter what situation they're standing in. You know, some people would see someone on a street corner that's dealing with something and want to just turn and walk away, because they're like, no, I don't want to deal with that. But like, if it's me, I walk up and I just put my hand on them. I don't care what it's like. And I just say, you know, Jesus loves you. And it is the love of God that just changes your heart and transforms you into a whole new creation. And I'm like, all you have to do is accept Jesus. I'm like, this love that I'm showing to you right now is a love that God wants to show you every single day. And I tell you, it's just like tears, you know, and all that stuff. Because people, like you said, they don't know true love, the real love, not the conditional stuff. Mm-mm. No, the unconditional, that God shows up in a moment where they're, you know, maybe in the weakest part, where they're like, nobody loves me, nobody wants to do anything. And then he just shows up as a beacon of light And it is that love that changes a person.
Yeah.
It is that that changes a person.
Brings healing.
It'll change the heart. Yeah. Yes. And peace, you know, and all of that. Yeah.
Amen. Well, is there anything else that you were wanting to bring to the table and share? We've asked you a lot of questions, but.
Well, there's one thing that God's been stirring in my heart here, because I don't know if you've ever heard of the this day and that day. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But also, there's that. But I want you to know that this day is a day of victory. This day is a day of restoration. This day is a day of healing. In this day, the day, present day that we have on this earth, every single day is a day of victory, of peace, of joy, of restoration, of healing, of redemption. Every day is a day of positive victory in the Lord. And then there will come a time when you realize that every day that we have this day is a day that transforms, that, you know, is the victory. We have the victory every day. When we realize that, then when we stand before the Father in that day, He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because Amen. You have used this day to be a day to show and to do what I've asked you to do. Because there's so many people sitting there today where they're like, I'm lost, you know, I'm broken, or nobody loves me, or I'm sick. And God says, this is your day of victory. This is your day of healing. This is your day of restoration before the Father. This day is the day that we choose to follow Him and just get into His presence, because every time you get in His presence, He changes you and He builds you up. So that's just something that God's been showing me. We need to look at this day as the day that He's created it to be, and it is a day of victory.
Amen.
And it excites me. Like, I'm like, this day,
I feel
when I
it.
Wake up, this... So, yeah, that's...
Man.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Now, your podcast, are you this energetic and passionate in the podcast? Because I have a long drive ahead of me on Wednesday, and I need something to keep me motivated and awake. And I think your podcast might be the very thing I need.
And can we remind the listeners of all your information? So the podcast, the name of the podcast, in case anyone hasn't gotten it.
And where can they find it at?
Yes. So my podcast is Faith and Fire with Megan. And a lot of what God's actually been having me do here recently is I'm doing Tuesday testimonies of ordinary, everyday people, because God showed me, like, I want you to pick the ordinary, everyday people that people don't know and show them I'm working in their life and I can do the same for them. So a lot of them are testimonies and communications about the same things we're talking about today. But it is Faith and Fire with Megan Fortner. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple iTunes, it's on YouTube, and then any podcast, we've got it on there. Like, any platform, it's on there. And then I have a YouTube channel where you could actually watch the video rather than just listen to it. But it's exciting. I just dropped that in January, I think, January, whenever we started it. So praise God.
Awesome.
Right. And you have a book right?
Jesus.
I Cried and He Heard Me.
Yes, the book released in January as well. I Cried and He Heard Me, and what it is just it's just every chapter is a different woman's testimony. So it is just a powerful ammunition tool that is going to also teach you how to overcome what maybe you're going through that somebody else overcomes. So it is an amazing tool, and if you guys would like to order one or whatever, you can reach out to me. I'm Megan Fortner on Facebook. That's my main communication.
And it's Megan, right?
Megan, okay. Yes.
All right.
Megan Fortner. And then you can watch everything that I put on there, because I have pop-up times where I come on Facebook and I was like, oh, it's a pop-up day, like pop-up videos. Let's talk about what God has today. So it's cool. It'll definitely fuel your faith and feed your faith and help you through times. Because I tell you, I've been through some times, and I would love to help you get through it and teach you how to do it, because then it will change your life.
Awesome.
Well, that's exciting. We're so glad that you came on today, and I love your energy and love your passion for the Lord.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor, you know, whenever Pastor Aaron asked me last night, I was like, no question, I'm coming. Like, it's an honor. I love to just share, you know, what God has, and just so people can see, like, be excited about God, because it's the excitement about God that's going to turn people towards what you have.
That's
and
exactly
what you have
true.
In Jesus,
so
you know?
Right.
Yeah, we got to be excited about it. You can't just sit there and be monotone. No, God's changed my life, and I'm going to tell the whole world about it.
Amen, like the woman at the well.
Yes, I mean.
I love how your podcast is Faith and Fire. and we're going to have to get out off of here just in a minute. But I heard someone that was close to us, her name is Tasha, was giving an illustration of nobody wants to gather around a bonfire that's like puny, you know, like nobody's attracted to that fire that's like just like barely flickering. But she said when there's a huge fire, like when a fire is like set ablaze, I mean, it draws people to gather around it. And that's just my prayer for everyone out there is I'm excited for this faith and fire and just to let the fire burn bigger and brighter than ever before.
Fan the flame, y'all, because that's going to make it spread throughout the whole world. You fan your flame and a spirit of faith is contagious. So fan the flame, let the spirit of faith go to other people that need exactly what you have. And don't be ashamed of it. Be proud of it. Head up, shoulders back, walk through this world bold and confident in who you are in Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. We've enjoyed our time with you today, and we just pray that you have a blessed day, and we're so thankful.
Thank you. I love y'all, and thank you for having me. Have a blessed day as well.
All right. Well, that wraps up our Mornings with Box 2. We love you guys, and have a blessed day.